The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, the latest news from Gaza is that at least 20 people have been killed in an incident at a Gaza aid site. This, of course, brings to well over 800 the number of people over the last few weeks who've been killed while seeking food and water. Meanwhile, the Israeli Minister for Defence, Israel Katz, has begun drawing up operational plans for the construction of the so-called humanitarian city on the ruins of southern Gaza. This would initially house 600,000 people and eventually the entire Palestinian population. Israel's former Prime Minister Ehud Olmert has stated that this so-called humanitarian city would be a concentration camp and forcing Palestinians inside would amount to ethnic cleansing. Joining me to talk about this and all the latest news from Gaza is Fawaz Gurgis, Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics and Political Science, and first, Paul Kearns, a Dublin-born journalist based in Tel Aviv. Good morning and welcome to you both. Paul, can you bring us up to speed on the latest on this operational plan for the so-called humanitarian city?
Good morning, Pat. Well, as you said, you outlined yourself, the proposal is sketchy at the moment, but the idea is to house up to 600,000 initially Palestinians on the ruins of the city of Rafah in the south of the Gaza Strip.
This is very close to the Egyptian border, isn't it?
Yes, Rafah is right up against the Egyptian border.
So is the plan actually to have an enclosed city that would be effectively a prison, or is the idea to put pressure on Egypt to open its borders and people would be moved to Rafah and thence across the border into Egypt?
Well, I guess I can't speak for the Israeli government's intentions as to what the medium-term outcome for this plan would be in relation to Egypt. I do know that the minister, and it's public knowledge that the minister, Israel Katz, of Defense, has set up a voluntary migration authority. So that would suggest that, give a clue as to the medium-term intention for removal of Palestinians from Gaza. Presumably, it would be surrounded by some sort of fence. It's been described here across the political spectrum as a concentration camp, not just Ehud Olmert, ex-prime minister. The leader of the opposition, Yair Lapid, is no leftist. He also described it as a concentration camp if people were not allowed to leave. And he has described, the whole proposal in dystopian terms. Now, what will Israeli soldiers do if children want to leave this so-called humanitarian city? And would there be a fence, a regular fence, in his own words, or an electric fence?
Now, the political reaction, I mentioned Ehud Olmert, the former prime minister. What exactly is the nature of his criticism and how has that been reported and received?
Well, it's very direct, I guess. You know, the proposal he describes as a concentration camp. If you're trying to shepherd or herd 600,000 people into a camp with a fence with no means of exit. The suggestions here in Haaretz newspaper, the left of center newspaper, is that the only two ways of leaving here will either be death or transfer to across the border to Egypt. There's been huge opposition across the political spectrum, admittedly for slightly different reasons. One left-wing member of parliament I said what we all obviously think, that it's neither a city or a humanitarian proposal, but an untenable ethical and moral endeavor. There's been criticism on the right, maybe from slightly different perspective. Avigdor Lieberman, the leader of a right-wing party, has in the opposition, I should add, said the plan is a delusion that will endanger our soldiers. So there's been criticism from the entire political spectrum, both on costs, logistics, the dangers, the workability, and obviously the humanitarian impact of what this is.
Yeah, much of criticism abroad about the so-called humanitarian Gaza Humanitarian Foundation and now this humanitarian city is that by simply using the term humanitarian, you make it sound great or kind or generous or benign. When in fact, as people looking for water and food have found in Gaza, that the humanitarian foundation is by no means benign to their interests.
Well, of course. I mean, in war, language is a victim as well. But this story has broken true in relation to the so-called humanitarian city on the mainstream Israeli news channels, which have been in the past very reluctant to show the horror, the imagery that we see in Ireland or the rest of the world. Yesterday evening on one of the mainstream channel news stations, they interviewed Eyal Benvenisti, a professor of international law, who was a past advisor to the Netanyahu government on the International Criminal Court. And he spoke very quietly and argued that, in his view, not only would this be likely war crime, but that it specifically contravened Israeli law and that the soldiers, the IDF soldiers, should refuse to implement to do it. And it was the first time I've seen a story on Israeli news where the wide panel of journalists, panelists and pundits were quiet and they listened. And I think it's a story that's breaking through to Middle Israel. I think it was a particularly important and unusual moment for Israeli news channels.
Now, the use of the term concentration camp, obviously the original concentration camps were in South Africa, invented by the British in the early part of the 20th century. But, of course, the main resonance from concentration camp is the concentration camps operated by the Nazis housing Jews in the Second World War. So I suspect that that description of concentration camp is one that does not sit well with many Israelis.
I would imagine not, but it obviously is a deliberate choice of word in the part of Olmert to use concentration camp, the word concentration camp. And as I said, you know, the leader of the opposition, who is from a centrist party, also used the word if, and I might add, he said if people were not permitted to leave. So the use of that word is intentional. And yes, of course, presumably, and hopefully it does shock Middle Israel that the mainstream news that will use that word or report his words.
Now, last time we were talking, Paul, you were saying how little people in Israel learned about what was really going on in Gaza, that, you know, the coverage is simply not there. There was a lot of coverage of the Iran conflict and the quest for nuclear facilities and so on and so forth. Has any of that changed? Is there more of a focus now on reporting on Gaza?
Well, since the war ended with Iran, the focus has shifted back to Gaza. But, you know, there's many stories emerge from Gaza. So the death of soldiers, you know, makes the headline news, along with the lack of progress on the hostages. And I think, but there is a groundswell of opinion in Israel that increasingly wants the war to end. And, you know, there might be for different reasons. The war is dragging on now nearly for 2 years. There's tens of thousands of reserve soldiers down there. And there's increasing questions about what this war is about. What is it serving and what is it doing?
And what is the end game? I mean, that is the question that really has not been answered by Netanyahu, although Israel Katz certainly has his ideas as to how it might end. Now, we talked before about how Netanyahu's popularity was solidified or even increased the way things panned out in Iran. This particular so-called humanitarian city, whether it's concentration camp or otherwise, is this maybe the ultimate overreach by the Netanyahu government that might do him harm?
It's possible, but if it breaks through in the mainstream media channels, television news channels, you know, as I said before, they don't report the horror, the extent of the horror that's happening in Gaza. But I would say the vast majority, overwhelming majority of Israelis are horrified by this proposal. And it's designed to ensure, I think, the stability of the government and that the far right don't bolt. There's 2 weeks left in this summer's, before the summer recess, for the Knesset, the parliament, to go into holiday period. And it's seen as a particular fragile moment that if there's progress made with the truce, a ceasefare, that the far right parties might leave. But as you said yourself, Netanyahu has not, for the last 2 years, put forward a plan for the so-called day after, the day after a permanent ceasefire, whenever that comes, for the simple reason, as I said, any reasonable plan that might include the role for the Palestinian Authority or doesn't include, you know, recolonization or ethnic transfer or expulsion would be rejected by his far-right coalition allies. So I guess he has to decide, you know, if he goes to the country early in an election, on what's the vision for Gaza, and whether, you know, the far right leave, that serves his interests, but obviously not in the short term.
And finally, I should ask you about the so-called operational proposals. I mean, is there a vision of what that humanitarian city might look like? I mean, is it going to be slum city, or are they going to build hospitals and so on, which will perhaps be a magnet for people to get the care they need? I mean, do we have any idea as to what is truly envisaged?
Well, it's the proposal is to be built on the ruins of Rafah, which was a relatively large city in the south of Gaza that's utterly destroyed. So the infrastructure, water, electricity, it's just not there. There's no framework in the short term that would make this any way a reasonable description as a city. I presume it would be tents, and there'll be one way in, one way out, and the GHF. Would continue to supply food and medical assistance, or the GHF, I should say.
And has the idea of Trump's Riviera in the Middle East died, or is that notion is that what really this is all about? A land grab in the rest of Gaza.
Well, you know, ultimately, the fantasy of that proposal, ultimately, if there's a plan for reconstruction, it's going to be a daunting task and it's going to take a long time. That's just the reality given the level of destruction. I think in the short or medium term, what is on everybody's minds, both in Israel on the right, on the left, and also outside of Israel, and of course for Palestinians, is this a plan for expulsion?
All right. Thank you very much, Paul. Paul Kearns, Dublin-born journalist based in Tel Aviv. Thank you very much for giving us the views on the ground in Israel. Fawaz Gurg is listening to that conversation. Fawaz, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you make of this plan? I mean, a so-called humanitarian city, which would take to put any kind of infrastructure in. You're talking about years, and what is to happen to people in between?
Well, I mean, I think we should not really mince any words about the so-called humanitarian city. Not only a former prime minister, Israeli prime minister, as you said, Olmert, and many other Israeli human rights groups and professors and experts have called it a concentration camp. It's a station, you know, which will basically serve as a departure point for the 600,000-700,000 Palestinians who basically would be forced into the city. And Rafah, as you said, borders Egypt, the Sinai. And this has been Israel's basically overarching strategic goal, to force the Palestinians, the 2.2 million Palestinians, into the Sinai Peninsula and to pressure Egypt to accept 2.2 million Palestinians out of Gaza, ethnic cleansing. You asked your correspondent about Trump's Riviera plan. I think it not only the idea of displacing the Palestinians has not really basically died down. When Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited the White House a few days ago, and he had dinner with Donald Trump, Donald Trump was asked by an American correspondent, what do you think of the displacement, of the exit of 2.2 million Palestinians out of Gaza? Donald Trump deferred to Benjamin Netanyahu. He did not answer the question, which is really by itself is a statement about the tail wags the dog. Benjamin Netanyahu's answer was very straightforward. He said, we are, and I'm paraphrasing what Benjamin Netanyahu said. He said, we are working very closely. We are coordinating with the United States. And we have been speaking to many countries about finding countries and places to take the Palestinians. And I think we have made some progress, quote unquote. This was last week. So the idea of the so-called humanitarian city and the entire strategic nightmare of the Israeli government is really ethnic cleansing, the displacement of the Palestinian. And they have been trying very hard to find ways and means to do so. So far, they have failed. And my hope and my prayer is that they will fail, that they are working very hard to put Donald Trump's idea into an operational form.
I mean, I talked about, you know, building hospitals in Rafah and putting in resources, educational resources and so on, that might act as a magnet to Palestinians to move in that direction. However, The timescale for any of that to be effective is years, is it not?
Please, Pat, don't. I mean, you're too intelligent, and your listeners are very too intelligent to believe in this nonsense. And I am not a correspondent, so I can speak my mind very clearly based on the evidence that I have. If Israel really was and is interested in building hospitals, in building an infrastructure for the Palestinians, for giving the Palestinians basically their freedom, why would they destroy the entire medical infrastructure in Gaza? Hospitals, clinics, schools, universities, the water infrastructure, the habitat, everything. And the reason why they're trying to basically talk about a humanitarian city, it's a way station to deport the Palestinians into the Sinai, if not now, in the next few months, because the Palestinians will be really, this is a prison, whether you call it concentration camp. And at the end of the day, the Palestinians will be basically forced to depart. And the only way they could is to Egypt. This is the reality. And if we mince any words about this, because look, you and I, how many times have we spoken in the past 1 month?
Yeah. Many times.
Just let me give you an idea to your listeners what has happened in the 24 hours. In the past 24 hours, Israel killed 93 Palestinians in Gaza and injured 274 Palestinians. In the past 24 hours, Israel bombed Syria and bombed Lebanon. It killed 12 Lebanese and injured scores. What we're talking about, I mean, the big question on the table is there is no accountability. It's impunity, epidemic of impunity. And the reason why you and I and the world, most of the world, particularly you in Ireland, because Ireland really stands very tall in comparison to other nations. I think the reason why Israel feels Benjamin Netanyahu and his coalition, they're emboldened. They could do anything. Truly, Pat, Israel could drop a tactical nuclear bomb on Gaza tomorrow and gets away with it. Why? Because, again, to come back to the key point, as long as the United States fully supports Israel, I mean, think of this, I mean, criminal irony. An Israeli prime minister who has a warrant on his head from the International Criminal Court for war crimes and crimes against humanity visit the United States, the most powerful nation in the world, and basically nominate the president of the United States for a Nobel Prize. This is by itself speaks where we are. This is pure lawlessness. Anything can go. And sadly and tragically, many worrying precedents are being created that they will come to haunt all of us in the next decade and next 2 decades.
Fawaz Gurgis, Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Thank you very much.
News Talks, Summer Cash Machine. The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.